ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وزِد وبارِك وأنعم على عبدك ونبيك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship and obedience except Allah. He is alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to raise his rank and to bless him and to shower him with peace and blessings and mercy and grace and safety, along with his family and along with his companions and all those who follow his guidance to the last day. I believe this is the first Thursday after New Year's, right? Today is the 5th of January 2012. Now, our Islamic calendar, 1433, has begun. We're in the second month. We're in the month of Safar. What I wanted to discuss and to share with all of us is, number one, an inspirational story. And then, number two, a New Year's resolution. And number three, how easy this resolution can be to implement. We just have to have the right mindset. Does anyone know what a New Year's resolution is? Okay, does anyone not know what a New Year's resolution is? Okay. A New Year's resolution here in this society, in this culture, is basically when the year ends and they're about to start a new year, people have bad habits. People have bad things that they usually do. Bad manners, bad characteristics, bad habits, spending habits, eating habits, and so forth. So he says, well, this year, I plan to change myself. I want to change myself to the better. So someone who's overweight, he'll say, this new year, my resolution is that I'm going to go on a nice diet. I'm going to stop eating rice. I'm going to stop eating bread. I'm going to stop eating carbohydrates. And I'm going to start working out. That's one resolution, for example. So is the idea clear? Another resolution is, okay, I'm going to start investing more time in reading. I watch too much TV. I play too many video games. I'm going to start reading from now on. This is my resolution for the new year. Another person can say, my resolution is, I want to get right with my Creator. I want to start doing good things. So that's what a New Year's resolution is. So I skipped so we can define that term. An inspirational story. Last week, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me. After I was with you guys on Thursday night, on Friday I went to Dallas. And the reason why I went is they were holding a khatib workshop. Khatib is the person who delivers the Friday khutbah, the sermon. So there was an organization there, Qalam Institute, holding a khatib workshop. And basically it was a 3-day intensive seminar. Friday night, Saturday, the whole day, Sunday, the whole day, and Monday, the whole day. Purpose behind it is there is an overwhelming need in the Muslim community, in America especially, and all over the world, if you know anything about Friday khutbah, about people being more qualified to deliver the Friday sermon, the weekly address that the Muslims need to hear as a reminder. So that was the purpose why we went. Now, it's a long story and there's a lot of things that I learned in there. I don't think I can share them in this brief session that we have together. The inspirational story, however, is that as soon as I landed in the airport, I met a brother from Michigan who's 86 years old. Is anyone here 86? No one even comes close. He's been Muslim for 52 years. An African-American brother. Originally from Mississippi.
He served in World War II. He was there when they dropped the bomb on Japan. Muslim for 52 years. He's been imam for 52 years. Been given khutbah for 52 years. But he's not from Dallas. You know why he was there? To attend the workshop, the khatib workshop. The khatib workshop was titled Stand Up and Deliver. Get up and deliver. This guy, 86 years old, he didn't think that he was too old to learn. He was with us sitting down all day writing notes. And he had a lot to say, as you can imagine. He had a beautiful spirit, mashallah. He was very proud to be Muslim. And he says, I don't believe in Allah. I know in Allah. He has no doubt whatsoever. Now what I found out, we sit in, so there is this courtesy shuttle from the hotel that we were staying in. And they came to pick us up. So he was in the shuttle ahead of us. So the driver comes down to pick up our luggage and he puts it in. So he says, Assalamu alaikum. So I'm thinking, mashallah, everyone in this city is Muslim. This guy turned to be Mexican, but he was not Muslim. But what happened was, a few minutes before we arrived, these brothers from Michigan were there, and they already started telling this Mexican driver about Islam. They wanted to convert him right there and then. They didn't want to waste any time. He is so proud to be Muslim, and he wants to tell the whole world about it. He doesn't hold back. Anyway, a lot of stories from this brother. His name is Brother Abdul Rahim Rashida. So he said, you know, when people ask me about my name, I tell them, do you have a few minutes? Sit down and I'll explain my name to you. And basically, when he explains his name, he takes that opportunity to explain Islam and to share the message of Islam. So this was the oldest person in the seminar. The youngest person was 13 years old. Do we have anyone younger than 13 here?
Yeah.
How old are you?
13.
13, as old as this young man. The other one is not here, man. He's somewhere else. Anyway, so 13 years old. But he's not just there for the seminar. In Dallas, there is Al-Bayyinah Institute. I told you about it last week. They have a 10-month intensive program to teach people Quranic Arabic. A person who doesn't know any Arabic comes out knowing how to understand the Quran in 10 months. This 13-year-old is in 8th grade. He wanted to be part of that program. He took time off of school and he went to this program. And in the program, he decided to come to the Khatib workshop as well. So that's an inspirational story. What's the moral of the story? Each one of you guys take a guess.
It's never old to learn.
Wow. What else? Never too young to learn. What else?
Never too old to learn.
Never too old. He already beat you, man. He mentioned it. You didn't hear it. That's not my fault. What else?
Give the time to learn.
Give time to learn. You know what? It was New Year's Eve. You know what people do on New Year's Eve? People get wasted on New Year's Eve. So you have 100 Muslims from all over America. I didn't think Dallas had any non-Muslims in it, because everyone I saw was Muslim. The whole hotel was Muslims. There was a Christmas tree. I'm like, this is the wrong country. But everyone else was Muslim. You know, so that was a great experience, alhamdulillah. And again, this reminds us of, I mean, there are so many lessons, I can't even begin, but it reminds us of the importance of having good company. I did not even feel it was New Year's Eve. I didn't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I was having so much fun. We were laughing, enjoying ourselves, you know, and it was a good environment. We were praying together, we were eating together, and we were learning together. Now you might say, but Brother Ahmed, you're supposed to be a scholar already. You've been learning Islam for 10 years, right? That's another learning experience. That it doesn't matter how much knowledge you think you have, you can still learn. You're not all-knowing. Allah says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. On top of everyone that has knowledge, there is somebody more knowledgeable. And guess who is the most knowledgeable? Allah, who's above everyone in knowledge. And whatever knowledge we do have, it comes to us from Allah. He gives it, and He can take it. And even if you already have knowledge, He can take it away from you whenever He wants to take it away from you. A few things, inshallah, to ponder over, and maybe if I have more opportunities, inshallah, that's what we'll do. But one of the sessions was dedicated fully on the tafsir of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Surah Al-Jumu'ah, there is a surah in the Quran named Al-Jumu'ah. And it was dedicated for this particular practice. The day of Friday is a very special day, as we all know. Maybe you've heard me give a khutbah and I say, this is the best day that was ever created. On this day Allah created Adam. On this day Allah put Adam in paradise. On this day Allah took him out of paradise. And on this day the day of judgment will take place. So the day of Jumu'ah is a very important day for us. So we should recognize that. And by the way, the day in Islam starts the night before. So we are Jumu'ah Eve right now. So we should have some type of preparation. Our mindset should be different. This is the day where we should transform for the better for the next week. And that's why it's so important for the khutbah to be very inspirational. Unfortunately, a lot of us, I mean, may Allah reward everyone. You know, we come and we just go through the motions. But this should give you fuel. The Friday sermon should give you fuel for the next week. It should transform you. It's not about learning. It's not informational. It's transformational. That's another thing I learned this weekend. It's not informational. It's transformational. So you're actually going to learn something, put it into practice, and change yourself to the better. Inspirational story. We're done with that part? Or you still want stories? Everybody likes stories, right?
Stories.
One of the stories is, there was a white lady in the front desk. A young lady. So I'm trying to go out to the session. The session is right after Fajr. From 7 all the way to 7. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I'm trying to go out. I'm minding my business. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm not looking at anyone. And she's like, hey. I'm like, hello. She's like, so this is the night after New Year's Eve. She's like, so did you have a good New Year's Eve? The funny thing was she saw me coming in with the brothers the night before. I'm like, yeah, I just went to sleep. That's it. She's like, okay, that's good. You know. Anyway, alhamdulillah, I thought it was a wonderful experience. The community, the Muslim community in Dallas is very big, mashallah. They're doing a lot of good things. They have a big masajid, a lot of Islamic schools. So it's wonderful to visit other communities so we can aspire to be better. Don't think that this is the best thing ever. What we have is great. And I'm just going to be, you know, satisfied with whatever I have. That brings us to the New Year's resolution. That we said, inspirational story and New Year's resolution. And New Year's resolution for us as Muslims, of course, should go without saying, we don't celebrate New Year's, right? Because it's not our year. It's the solar year. Our year is a lunar calendar. However, it's a fact of life. Most of the planet follows the solar calendar. And people use it for organizational reasons. So if I ask you today, what is the day in the Islamic calendar? How many of you know today? What's today's day?
11th
Safar. Huh?
11th Safar.
I mentioned a month. What day is it in the month?
Oh,
what date?
Oh,
it's 11. MashaAllah, look at that. He's using a cheat sheet. Brother, you're cheating in the masjid, man. In front of all the Muslims. Okay, so most of us don't know what day it is. That's not great. We can, you know, one of the resolutions should be, let's get more accustomed to using the Islamic dates. At least in our own gatherings, in our own families, in our own, you know, community. That doesn't mean we cancel out the other dates. And that's why I begun by saying this is the first week after New Year's. So now we want to take advantage of this opportunity, not as an act of worship per se, because we don't worship according to the sun. We worship according to the moon. Anyway. But what should be our New Year's resolution? Each one of us should have a plan. We have bad habits. We have bad manners. We have bad characteristics. So should we not try to improve on all of these things? We should, right? Does anyone disagree? Like, does anyone here think that they don't need to change to the better? Does anyone think you're perfect? If you do, please let me know so I can learn from you. Because I haven't found that person out yet. The perfect person is the one that Allah Azza wa Jal protects. And those were the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. But by the way, even the messengers had resolutions. So much so, our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, or his companions would say, on every day he would ask Allah to forgive him 70 times to 100 times. That's a resolution. That is a resolution. A resolution is a practice that you pick up and you intend, I'm never going to leave this practice again. That's what a resolution is. It's a transformation. So for example, you eat junk food. So my resolution is, I want to leave off junk food. So does that mean I leave it off for a week? And then after a week, I feel good. MashaAllah, this feels so good. So let me go to McDonald's and fill my tank up with more junk food. That's not a resolution. That's called a temporary solution. Let's get our terminology straight. Resolution is, I'm going to change and I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. An easy resolution I'll share with you is something that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised one of his companions. The companion's name was Abu Huraira. You've heard of Abu Huraira before? He's a famous companion. He narrated many ahadith. So he said that my friend, my very close friend, gave me instruction to not leave off three things. He gave me instruction to not leave off three things. What are these three things? Has anyone heard this statement before? Okay, Brother Ghassan. Okay, he said, don't leave off fasting 3 days every month. Every month, get in the habit of fasting, staying away from food, starving your body in order for you to nourish your body spiritually, starve it physically. 3 days every month. So this is a purification of the body, a purification of the soul. So fasting 3 days every month. This is extra worship. What month do we fast in the Islamic calendar? Ramadan, right? Ramzan. Right? We do fasting, which is Roza. It's called Roza. Okay. That's the obligation. That's a very important thing. We can't leave that off. Now, this companion was given instruction. This is extra stuff. Fasting 3 days every month. What else, Brother Ghassan? Every single day, doing 2 rak'ah. 2 rak'ah, which is extra salah, at a particular time in the day. This time is from the time the sun rises till the time it gets to its peak. This time is called duha, which is basically when the sun rises. This is after sun rises. You pray these 2 rak'at. Now, I'm going to mention a very nice hadith about this because it has to do with transformation, it has to do with resolution, and it has to do with the new year, and it has to do... One thing I forgot about the new year. You know what people do on New Year's? They do bookkeeping. You know what bookkeeping is? Record keeping. Whether you're a family, an individual, or a business. You're spending all year long, right? In the end of the year, you go back to your books, and you see, well, I had this much money come in, and this much money go out, this much money saved, this much money lost, and you have every single detail throughout the year. What are you doing here? It's called bookkeeping. Economics. You're doing your economics. In Arabic, this is called muhasaba. Right? Muhasaba. What does muhasaba mean? Reckoning. Yeah, that's difficult. Most people don't know what reckoning means. What's another word for muhasaba?
Accounting.
I mean, most. How many accountants do we have here? Rashid Bhai is not here, right? That's the problem. Accounting. You're doing your personal accounting. That's one thing people do in New Year's. Is they do accounting. That's one of their resolutions. Why? Because they're like, I have bad spending habits. So when you look at your books, when you do accounting, you're like, okay, I need to change. For example, I'm spending too much money on my car. Let me get another car, a better car, you know, or a worse car, depending on what you're dealing with, right? Maybe you're paying too much for your lease. Maybe you bought a brand new car and now you want to downgrade. Maybe you want to upgrade. It depends. It's called bookkeeping. How am I tying this into the two rak'at of duha? This is going to come in the end, inshallah. So remember, two extra rak'at every day, called the prayer of duha, which is the time where the sun rises till the time that the sun gets to its peak. Throughout this time, you can pray these two rak'at, inshallah, and there is great reward associated with that. Who else knows the hadith of Abu Hurairah? What's the third thing? He said, my companion, my close friend, told me not to leave off three things. We said, fasting 3 days every month. This is every lunar month, okay? So that's why we have to be aware of the Islamic calendar. Because let's say you fast 3 days in January, any time in January, well, guess what? You might have fasted 1 day in the lunar month and 2 days in the next month, right? So if you want to do it right, be aware of the lunar calendar. So fasting 3 days every month, praying two rak'at for duha, and number three, never leaving off witr prayer. Witr, who knows what witr is? Witr is an extra prayer you do after Isha. Isha, we have five salawat, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, correct? Yes. These five are, they equal 17 rak'ah, 17 cycles where we go up and down, 17 times a day. We go up and down, but the times are five times. The motion is 17 times. So now anything you do that's extra is called extra credit. So he said, the most important extra credit after these five is witr. The salah you do right before you go to sleep, or the last salah you do every night. It's recommended to be three rak'at. Three rak'at. So Abu Huraira says, my close friend, Khalili, my very close, intimate friend, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you should say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the eve of Friday and throughout Friday daytime. Because he said, that's the best time to do durood, to do salawat ala nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Our beloved messenger.
No. You're just going to get the pizza.
Alright, he's going to get the pizza.
You got the third point?
Yes.
Tark
arba'a. Witr.
Tark arba'a qabla al-asr.
Witr, and that narration is witr.
Yeah, yeah.
Witr. See, mashallah.
He came to give you the third point.
He came to give me the third point, man. Okay. So praying witr. Can we all incorporate this into our life if we don't have it? Do you guys think this is a good New Year's resolution? That inshallah, I heard that the messenger gave a resolution to one of his companions, and I want to incorporate this resolution into my own personal life, which is to do three things and to never leave them off, which means I'll do it for the remainder of my life. From the day I learn it, I practice it and never leave it off, inshallah. And I ask Allah to help me to do that. That's why we have to remember what we said before. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, assist me, help me to remember you, to thank you and to be grateful to you and to worship you properly. So ask Allah for help. Incorporate this resolution into your life. And it's very simple. That's our final session, which is, this is extremely simple. Now, what does the two raka'at of duha do to each one of us? Do you pay taxes?
Yes.
Everyone is scared. They're like, oh no. Sheikh Ahmed worked for the IRS. We knew something was wrong about this guy. Do you guys pay taxes?
Yes.
Everyone, look, whether you file your taxes or you don't, you're paying taxes. Everything you buy in this country, there is a tax for it. It's called a sales tax. So you're paying taxes, whether you say yes or no, you're paying taxes. Don't worry about it. Okay. There is a special tax called a body tax. Have you heard of this tax? Body, like this body. Body tax. Body parts tax. I like this. Thank you. I like this. This is going to be the title of my khutbah. Body parts tax. People are like, all right, another weirdo. Body parts tax. Have you heard of this tax?
Yes.
Who heard of it before? He heard of it. Well, you don't get to. I'm sorry, I'm not going to ask. Okay. Basically, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us these bodies, correct? Has He asked for a price? Did we pay for this body?
No.
Did you ask for this body?
No.
You didn't even ask for it. It was given to you for nothing. But now, in order for you to keep something up, you should do something to maintain it. Alright? So what do we do to maintain our bodies? Usually, what do human beings do? Forget Muslims. What do you do as a human being to maintain your body? Tahir. What do you do?
Shower.
Shower. Hygiene. You take care of it. Okay, hygiene. What else? You start with showering. Okay, next.
Sleep.
You sleep. That's good. What else?
Workout.
Eat. Thank you. I mean, that's the most obvious one. If you take a shower and you sleep, you're going to die because there's no food in your stomach. Eating. What else?
Exercising.
Okay, so this maintains the physical body. You eat right, you exercise, you take care of your hygiene, you clean yourself, and you sleep. These four things are great for you to keep your body in shape, in good shape. And this will make you maximize the use of your body. So you can use it for as long as you wish. You see this brother, the 86-year-old, every time we looked at him, he seemed so happy, mashallah. He's like, people ask me why I'm in good shape. He's like, because I take care of my body. He's 86 years old, mashallah, but he is beautiful. You look at his smile, you look at his the way he's walking. He's literally jumping. Like he doesn't walk, he jumps. Like he's not from this planet. I don't know what he's been doing. He's been Muslim for 52 years. That's what he's been doing. Whatever he learns, even if it's small, he practices. He takes care of his family. He believes in Allah. He has no doubt about Allah, and he tells everyone who Allah is. And he's not ashamed to tell people, I am Muslim. Okay? So that's how you maintain your body physically. But the body, we all know, is composed of two things, right? The physical body, this was made out of what? Mud. And then we have something inside of us called the spirit. This was made from another substance. So we are a physical body and a spiritual body. How do you nourish yourself spiritually? That's coming. But you nourish yourself spiritually how?
Prayers.
Worshipping Allah. One of the most important things to nourish yourself physically is dhikr. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With dhikr, remembrance of Allah, the hearts find rest and tranquility. So all the worships that we do, the acts of worship we do, everything Allah legislated for us as a ritual act of worship, this is for the maintenance of our spiritual body. And that's how we keep the balance. But some acts of worship for us are good for us physically and spiritually, such as Salah. Salah. Now we don't say, oh, the wisdom behind Salah is because it's like exercise and it's like a yoga. And we don't do that. That's not our religion. We do Salah the way it's prescribed because Allah told us to do it and we are servants. What's another obvious one that takes care of the spirit and the body? Sawm, Roza, fasting, abstaining from food, depriving your body and starving it from food in order to cleanse it spiritually and to cleanse it physically. They say if you, I mean, I don't know if any of you have done any reading about the diseases that people have. The number one source of disease is what you put in your body. The number one source, which is food. So how do you solve those problems? Stop eating. Fasting. Yes, abstaining from food. Anyway, this is like a long story. I don't want to get carried away because I get excited sometimes. But we get the point, right? So, well-being of the spiritual side and well-being of the physical side. Well, Allah Azza wa Jal does require a tax for our body parts. A tax, not a price, a tax. So you say, Ahmed, we've heard a lot of crazy things from you, but you just topped it off. Body parts tax. What religion are you from, man? Okay, I'm just playing with English. I don't think any alim will tell you there's a body parts tax. But this is to simplify the information and so you don't forget it. So when someone tells you, so what did you learn on Thursday night? What are you going to say?
Body
parts tax. And you're going to say New Year's resolution from an Islamic perspective and an inspirational story, right? Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you mind if I recite it in Arabic first? I can do that. You guys like hearing Arabic sometimes? It's fine. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس تعدل بين الاثنين صدقة وتعين الرجل في دابته فتحمله عليها أو ترفع له عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وكل خطوة تمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميط الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. This is a very authentic report. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every bone on the human body is required to pay charity, tax. Every bone has a tax. Every day the sun rises over, which means every single day, for every single bone, you must pay a tax. I'll tell you this much, you're going to be broke. Just think about it financially. How much can you pay for your body? Have you considered getting a liver transplant? A kidney transplant? You know how much these things cost? Hundreds of thousands. No, they have a price tag on them, I'll assure you. Right now, you can go and get a liver transplant, but it costs maybe $250,000. That's just for one organ in your body. And you don't even care, you don't even think about it, because Allah just gave it to you for free. So just consider, every single day the sun rises, for every single bone on the body of every single human being, there is a tax. So the Prophet ﷺ told us ways to pay this tax. This is the beauty of our religion and the beauty of the instruction. It's not too difficult. But what it is, it's telling you, recognize this body of yours is not yours. That's one. Take that as a lesson. Recognize that you have to pay a tax on it. Now you might say, how do I pay the tax? He explained it to you. You bring justice between two people who are fighting. That's a tax. So he's giving you now ways of paying back for your body. Doing good between two people. A husband and a wife are fighting, you're counseling them. Two kids are fighting, you help them to get over it. Two brothers in the masjid fighting, you help them get over it. Even two non-Muslims fighting, because he didn't say Muslims. He says, تَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. You take care of two people who are not cool with each other, and that's a tax, that's a charity. You help a person get up on his animal. On these days, they used to ride what? Animals. Camel, horse, donkey, right? The Prophet ﷺ rode all three of these things. Camel, horse, and donkey. And mule, which is half horse, half donkey. So, you help someone get up on their animal, or you help him put his stuff on top of it. Because sometimes you get on the animal, but your stuff's still down. You have to have someone help you out, right? So you go and volunteer yourself for free. You don't tell them, hey, I'll do it. $5. Pay up.
So how do you interpret that in the modern world?
How do we, because people usually, you don't have people, cowboys, and riding horses right now, right?
No.
You help someone out on their ride. All right? Someone needs a jump start. You help them out. Someone needs to get his key. Because he lost his key, you help him, you call AAA, getting in his car, because he's out of his car. He needs the car towed, you help him out with it. Some people physically, yesterday I was walking and I saw two young men or gentlemen, they had a wheelchair. Apparently they had a third person who needed a wheelchair. So a person on a wheelchair, does he require help to get in? How many times do you see people who can't walk, they have a wheelchair? Have we ever offered them the help? This person, I think they were Desi, the way they looked. So they're taking care of the elders, but how many Americans do you see? The old person is all alone, right? And he's on a wheelchair, he can't move, and no one is helping him out. So helping him out, get into his car, get out of his car, put his stuff in the car. He's got luggage, he's got suitcases, he's got groceries. You help him in, you help him out. That's charity. A good word is charity. Last week we spoke about controlling the tongue. But we also spoke about when you say positive things is good. Why? Because it's sadaqah, it's tax. You're paying charity for your body when you say something sweet. When you bring a smile to the heart of your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister, your mother or your father or your neighbor or your coworker, just saying good things, being a positive person. People are like, I love this person. He's so positive. All he talks about is good things. وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. A good, pure, positive word is charity. It's a tax. And every step you take to perform salah is sadaqah. Because you're using the bones that Allah gave you to walk to worship Allah. It's a tax. And if you remove a harmful object from the street, from the road of people, that is charity. That's tax. This does not mean you're a paid trash man. You see something in the middle of people's way, you just remove it. Why? For Allah. Why? Because it's sadaqah. It's charity. It's a body tax. Body parts tax. You're doing it for Allah. And then everyone who was harmed by this, or was gonna be harmed by it, is gonna bear witness for you that he took care of me and he helped me out, even if they don't see you. So this is called volunteering. Doing things and not expecting a worldly reward. You're expecting a reward from your Creator. Now there is another narration that completes this, because I told you, how am I gonna tie this with Salatul Duha, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he mentioned so many examples of paying charity, because there is another narration that says when you say Subhanallah, it's charity. You say Alhamdulillah, it's charity. You say Allahu Akbar, it's charity. You say La ilaha illallah, it's charity. Every good thing you say is charity. Every salah you do is charity, and so forth. He even said when you put a spoon of food in your wife's mouth, it's charity. When you have intimate relations with your spouse, it's charity. When you smile in the face of your brother, it's charity. Or in the face of anyone, not just your physical blood brother. This is brother meaning human brother. Being smiling, having a positive outlook, being positive, just being nice. Show them bright teeth. Yeah, Tahir, like that. Do that. Even me, I look scary, but if I smile, people think I'm friendly, right? Smile. It's charity. So the Prophet ﷺ says, and to save you all the trouble, just to make sure, to guarantee that you pay your body parts tax, he says, وَيُجْزِئُ مِن ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَىٰ. To guarantee that you have paid your tax for your body parts, prayer day is to pray the 2 rak'ah of duha every day. And that way you're guaranteed. Even if you did not leave the house, you're like, man, today I was on break because there was a national holiday. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't clean up the street. I can do community service. Community service is in this hadith. You're like, community service? We're living with a kuffar. Yes. We're not doing it for them. We're doing it for Allah. We're doing it for our bodies. We're doing it to represent Islam. You're like, how can I help two people out? I'm just locked up in my apartment. I didn't see anyone today, right? I'm not married yet, right? I'm not married. How can I feed my wife when I'm not married? How can I have intimate relations with my wife when I'm not married? How can I smile when I don't see anyone? Smile in the mirror to myself? That kind of looks silly. So when you're locked up in an apartment and you don't have a chance to do any of the other things the Prophet ﷺ gave you, at least pray 2 rak'ah of duha. Right? So make this as a resolution, inshaAllah ta'ala. There are so many things to learn from this narration, but I think I've taken my time. So I'm going to sum up what we covered today, right? We covered an inspirational story. You're never too old and never too young to learn. These people that were there, I think, no one said it, but I'm thinking today when I was reflecting over a New Year's resolution, they had a resolution. They're like, our community is in bad shape. We need to change the khutbah system. Because the khutbah system now is not good. People go up to the khutbah and they're not prepared. Or they're not qualified. Or they don't know how to speak properly, right? Everyone has that complaint. It's so boring, people are sleeping, he doesn't speak English, he doesn't speak Arabic. People will always complain. But when you prepare yourself, proper preparation prevents poor performance. The 5 P's. Can you remember that? proper, preparation, prevents poor performance. So when you prepare properly, and that's what these brothers were doing. They took time and a national holiday, and they said, we're going to go and qualify ourselves to help our communities out. So that's a resolution that they put for themselves. Now that resolution is individual and community based. But you might say over here, how many of you here give the khutbah on Friday? Have ever given the khutbah? Okay, the brother. So you might say, well, that's not for me. But as individuals, can't we find room to change and to benefit and to improve ourselves? We can. So maybe it's not the khatib workshop, but maybe it's a workshop that teaches me how to be a better Muslim, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better human being. Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. Allah bless you and reward you. So having these resolutions, inspirational story, these people are inshallah going to make a move, make a change. A New Year's resolution, incorporate positive things in our lives and never leave it. Keep with it, stay steadfast. Learn something beneficial and keep doing it. Don't leave it off. And in the end, it's very easy. Why? Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Oh Allah, there is nothing easy except the things that you make easy. That's why we ask Allah to make it easy for us to implement our New Year's resolution. By saying, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me to remember you, to be thankful and grateful to you, and to worship you properly in the best of ways. So that's our New Year's resolution, inshallah, and it should be our life resolution. One of my teachers, we have a weekly class in Medina, and this class is not like a class based on fiqh, which is the technical instructions of Islam. It's not based on hadith. It's based on tarbiyah, which is actual, how do I incorporate what I learned in life? So after the class, he says, okay, this week's homework. But it's not only for this week. It's for the rest of your life. So it's a resolution. So one time he mentions the hadith we mentioned today. Fast 3 days every month. Pray 2 rak'at of duha. And pray witr before you go to sleep. That's it. Witr is 3. That's the most recommended. It's 3. You can do it more than that if you wish, because that's called the night prayer. But the best thing is just to do 3, just to be away from any differences of opinion. Just do 3. Before you go to sleep. Alright? Make sure that's the last thing you do. If you can't do that right before you go to sleep, after you do Isha, do witr. So at least you say, hey, I ended my night with witr. Right? Witr literally means an odd number, like 1, 3, 5, 7. So that's what you ended your day with. You ended it on an odd number of prayers. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ. Allah is a single entity and He likes odd numbers. So that's why you pray the night prayer in odd numbers, because it's beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, who's going to volunteer and tell me a summary of what we learned today? You were paying attention the whole time. I saw you. Go ahead. Just very small words. You don't have to give the whole lecture again. If you remember anything. If you don't, no problem. We'll pass it to the guy behind you. He looks very excited. Yeah, you. But hold on. Let's pick on him first. We'll go to you next. What you got? What's your name first? You.
Shafiq.
Shafiq. Okay, Shafiq. You're Ghassan's son, right? MashaAllah. Okay, so what you got? Did you learn anything today?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to share it with us? The reason I'm picking on you is because your father didn't bring the pizza yet. So, we're waiting on the pizza now. Okay, Shafiq wants to pass. What's your name? Rayyan? Are you Ghassan's son too?
No.
Whose son are you? The father's not here. Okay.